Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I just want to welcome everybody that's online watching the TV and everybody that's in the Family Center this morning. I was so excited to be up here today. I don't know if you've ever felt this, but it was kind of like that feeling when you're getting ready to go to summer camp. Do you know that feeling when you're getting ready to go to like a water park the next day and like all of a sudden you hardly can fall asleep? And then when you do fall asleep, your mind goes, is it time to get up? And then you look at the clock and it's like 2. And then you go back to bed and then your mind's like, it's time to get up. And then you look and it's 3:45. And then you go back to bed and then your mind is like, it's time to get up now. And then you look and it's not time to get up. But it's so close to your alarm that I literally was like, get up. So I got up. It was so exciting to be there. So hopefully you've experienced that. Anybody gone to kids camp before? Some of you look at me like that is a foreign word. Anyone? Anyone? No. Some of you have your arms folded like I refuse to raise my hand this morning. Guys, it's going to be a good morning, I can already tell. So I am excited today because I bet you're wondering what I'm going to be talking about today. I'm going to leave you with a little bit of suspense, but it has to do with something that is beside me. These poor sweet guys brought this out. I tell you, it's a little heavier than it looks, but last week, I want to just say a couple of things. Pastor Josh did an amazing job about talking about new creation, that we are a new creation. The old is passed away, and behold, we are becoming new. We're becoming new. And this really stuck in my mind where he said, the old man, when you get baptized, the old man stays under the water, right? So when you become a new creation, whatever you did that was old actually stays. So don't resuscitate that. Don't try to bring that old man into the new beginning that you're starting. And so as I was thinking about that and what he was saying, it was confirmation about what God wanted me to share today that has been on my mind for several months. And that is this, that when we come into agreement with God, we also have to take inventory of the things that we might have allowed in, not really knowing. And so, not only in our mind, but also the territory around us. And so today, I want to talk about closing doors to lies and agreements in our life that may have been open so that you can walk in total and complete freedom today. How's that? I feel like that today is a day of freedom. And it's not through human effort, and it's not through my own strength, and it's not through your own strength, but it's through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ that there is total and complete freedom, that you could walk out that door, and whatever you came in with actually stays here, and you walk out free. So I have had the privilege and the honor over a lot of years to walk people through freedom, through prayer and deliverance, and helping them close the doors to what the enemy has opened in their life. And whether they've made agreements with lies or strongholds, I have seen visual, their faces change, their countenance change. I have seen freedom happen in these people's lives. And they could walk out the reality of freedom as a new creation. And so I love to see people set free. I love to see people walk out in the freedom that God has created for them and the person that God has created for them to be. And so I know today that he has given me tools to speak about today so that you can recognize the authority that you and I have to shut the doors where the enemy has tried to get access. Okay? Are we ready? So this door here seems really light, but I tell you, a door is used for so many things, okay? A door is used for safety and security. A door is used for controlling access. Oh, well, come in. I get to control what is allowed to come into my home through a door. Is that not right? Do you get to control who gets to come in and out of your door? Okay, yes. So we get to give access or we get to not give access. Okay, we have the authority to do that. Sometimes the door represents metaphorically new beginnings. Maybe there's new opportunities, possibilities, new chapters in life, okay? But these are representing the things that we also get to shut out. Not just open the door to, but this is also used to actually shut out things that are dangerous and not good for us, okay? So we're going to get into that, but one of the tools that I feel like that the Lord has given me to share with the church, not just this church, but really I feel like it's a call for the church is to, number one, be alert, okay? So be alert. Let's go to 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be alert, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that at the same kind of suffering is being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Be alert, be watchful. There is a devil that prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Peter gives us a closing remark here that basically says, hey, watch out, wake up, be on alert. When you transferred out of Satan's realm of darkness and into the kingdom of God, you have a target on your back. And the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, not to be petted, but to actually kill. And if I had an enemy prowling around my door, I am not going to open that door to that animal. I have the authority to not allow him access, and so do you. And we have the power to say no, okay? And I feel like the Lord just wants to remind us of this. We are not weak in this situation, okay? Unless we give him access, we have the authority to say no. So in a world that is open to everything right now, we must rediscover and then follow through with the discipline of closing doors in our lives. We know that not every opportunity comes from the Lord, and not every thought is truth or every feeling is truth. And let me say this, and not every thought deserves agreement. He has given us authority in Jesus Christ to say no to the enemy and to close the doors to any access and stand firm. So how do we stand firm? We have to stand firm in our faith, remembering that you can conquer and have victory over the enemy, but it is only through our faith in and our obedience to Jesus Christ, okay? Our faith in and our obedience. It's not just believing in Jesus Christ, but it's actually obeying him that helps us to stand firm, okay? So we're believing in what Jesus is saying to us. Pastor John Tyson, I got to meet him a couple of years ago, a pastor in New York. He said this statement. He said, we've underestimated how much of the Christian life is resistance. It's not just about agreeing with God's love. It's also about resisting the lies that are warring against your soul. So I want to give you an example. I am going to pretend that this is the door to my mind, the door to my thoughts, okay? So we have doors to our thoughts, to our body, what we think about. I don't know if you know this, but the average person has about 30 to 50,000 thoughts a day. Do you know that? And they all come to every woman at 10:30 at night when she's about ready to go to sleep, and then all of a sudden she wonders, did Jesus really have curly hair? Did I really shut the oven off? Oh my goodness, that shirt that I wore in second grade was not appropriate. Blah, 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 blah. Okay? 30 to 50,000 thoughts a day. But let me tell you this, and I want you to really listen to me. It says to statistically, 80% of those thoughts are negative. 80%. Our thoughts have the power to make us or break us. Dr. Leaf, who is a communications pathologist and a neuroscientist, I read one of her books way before TikTok and Instagram and all of the Facebook and all the stuff. And man, we really needed that book before all that stuff came out. But this is something that she said, and I hope This is on the screen. It says, thoughts, there was a bug up here, sorry. Thoughts, sorry. Do you know we have a church fly? I don't know if you guys know this, but there is a fly that comes out every once in a while. Anyway, that wasn't it, but that was a bug, so I just wanted to stop that right there. Anyway, this is what it says. Thoughts are measurable and occupy mental real estate. I want to stop right there. When I read this book, I really practiced this out with my girls. And so I said, hey, I want you to look at the front lawn, and I want you to think that every thought that you have actually takes up space on the front lawn. So if you want to have a bad thought or you have fear, it actually is taking up part of your front lawn, okay? So if you really think of the statistic, 80% of our mind, 80% of our front lawn is taken up by negative thoughts. That's not giving very much thought to any good thoughts that come through, okay? So this is what she continues to say. Thoughts are active. They grow and change. Thoughts influence every decision, word, action, physical reaction that we make. When I have a bad thought, my heart rate starts racing. My stomach is upset. My knees start knocking. My brain slows down. So our thoughts actually control our body, right? Are we sick or are we sick? Do you know what I'm saying? If you've got 80% of negative thoughts in your mind, your body is responding to your negativity, okay? So this is what it says. Every time that you have a thought, it is actively changing your brain and body for better or worse. My word. The mind has the power of intellect, emotions, and free will. And if enabled by the Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit, you can make good choices that can positively change the body, which includes the brain. Whew! That's a good thing. We can change our thoughts today. So this is the door to my mind. Okay? And sometimes the enemy comes as a roaring lion, but sometimes he comes just kind of tiny, right? He's not really so loud. So there's this sweet animal that I see sometimes on our drive, and it's a beaver, and I call him Mr. Beaver. And he's just so stinking cute, okay? And he just sets up, and as I drive by, I'm like, oh, Mr. Beaver, you're just so cute. Anyway, if Mr. Beaver was at my door, okay, I have to make the choice whether or not to let him in, correct? Correct. So I get to say, Mr. Beaver, do you get to come into my house today? The answer would be no, right? Even though Mr. Beaver is so stinking cute, and he is just so cute. He's cute not on my property, but he's cute on other people's property where he's making dams and all that stuff and making a mess, but not on mine. But he is cute. So I have to make a decision. Am I going to trust that Mr. Beaver is going to just come in and be all sweet and not tear up anything? No, I cannot. Because number one, he's an animal. And number two, Mr. Beaver might be Mrs. Beaver and be carrying a bunch of babies that I can't see. And then that's havoc. Does everybody understand that? Okay, so this week, I got to play this out. I walked into our laundry room, and up in the corner was a sweet little spider. And I was like, look at you. You just felt so safe and secure in my home. And wow, you are building a web that is like crazy. And I noticed that she was enclosing herself in the web, which means two things. Number one, she is about ready to drop some eggs, okay, in my home without my permission. So I called my spider extractor, Mr. Josh Thompson, and I said, you got to get in there now because that spider is about ready to lay her eggs, which up to one sack of eggs is about 1,000 spiders. I don't know about you, I don't want that in my house. Do I have the authority to say that? Yes. Do I have the authority to remove her and her children out of my home? I do, okay? But sometimes the enemy dubs us down and he just weighs us down to think, I have no authority and I have to let every thought come in and I have to agree with everything he says and I have no right to say no. If we're taking the word seriously, our job is to take every thought captive. And in Philippians 4:8, this is what it says. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think on these things. God gives us peace, but we have to hold on to it. There are so many things in the word where God comes in and he delivers and he rescues and he redeems and he heals. But then there are times also where he says, stand up, fear not, set your mind on things above. And this is saying, think on these things. I'm telling you, how can you have a good life? Think on these things, not that 80% of junk that has taken residency in your mind. Think on this stuff, okay? So if your thoughts have been something other than these things, if you have lost peace, then you must be setting your mind on things that are opposite of the peace that you have been asking for. And if that is the case, I think sometimes we have to repent. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I gave him access to my mind that you made. But it's so good. He's like, just call on me and do not partner with the enemy. Know my voice. Know my voice. Our thoughts will either bring us closer to the Father or further away and disconnected. And I just want to speak this truth. If you feel disconnected from the Father today, step back and see what you have been agreeing with. Have you been obeying his voice or another voice? Okay. So the first thing is be alert, wake up. There's an enemy that wants to devour you. The second thing is submit and resist. We need to wake up. And then we also in James 4 says, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Humbling yourself before God, submitting is recognizing our weakness and surrender to him as the ultimate authority. Submitting to God is half of the verse, guys. And then the other half is actually resist the devil. So he is instructing us. Let me just say this. Don't underestimate Satan. He is not a cartoon character with a red pitchfork. Like, he's just not. And he's been doing this a long time. And the only way that we can resist him is the same way that Jesus did in Matthew 4 when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus submitted himself to God and fasted for 40 days and prioritized prayer and fellowship with God and fed his spirit instead of his stomach. And after 40 days, he was hungry and ready for battle. So, boom, you have Satan. In verse 3, he's like, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to come to bread, become bread. The devil had been watching Jesus without food, going without food. And he knows what you're up to, too. And he directs his temptations at you accordingly. This is how Jesus responds. It is written. So let me say this. If Jesus, the living word, needed the written word to deal with the enemy of the word, how much more do we need to know the word to do the same? Because the word of God is to be thrown and used as a sword. And if we don't know it, we will believe whatever the enemy says to us. Every time I read Matthew 14, I feel like I hear that dun 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 dun. Do you know what I'm saying? Da 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 da. Is that Rocky? Yes. Yes, it is. Because I'm just like, you just wait. You just wait. He's coming at you in scripture. He's telling you the truth. You're defeated. You're defeated. You're overcome. You don't win. And I'm just like, oh, I start like the fist pump. I'm like, oh, yeah. Anyway. let's go back to humbling ourselves, okay? Humble ourselves, resist the devil, and he will flee. And then it says, come close. Whew. Humble ourselves, meaning God, you are supreme authority. I can't do anything in my strength. I need you. I need your direction. I need your help. Resist the devil. I refuse to partner with your lies. And he's got to flee. And then come close. Lord, I bring my worship, my obedience, and my praise to you. And the third thing is stand firm. Ephesians 6:10, it says, but finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the enemy. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We know this, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And therefore, take on the full armor of God so that you can withstand the evil in the day and stand firm. Tim Keller wrote, you are in Christ. That is not a metaphor. It's a new reality. And when you realize that, you will stop striving and start standing. I want to talk about spiritual warfare a little bit. That's not really talked a lot about. But spiritual warfare is the conflict in which the spiritual realm affects the physical realm. And the daily problems that we face here on earth are rooted there. But get this, most importantly, the weapons and the resources that we fight with and that we battle with are there too. So Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 1:3, it says that through Jesus Christ, God has given you every blessing that you need in heavenly places. So the battle we face today and every day is rooted in the schemes of the enemy. He has studied your past. He has studied your weaknesses, your sin patterns, because his point is to come and steal from you, to kill you, and destroy what God loves, which is you. Now, I just want to throw this out here, okay? I'm not here to glorify the enemy. I am not here to say that he is stronger than Jesus, because that is ridiculous. He's not. But I am saying it's time for us to wake up. We do not fight against each other, but we are fighting against the enemy and the powers and principalities that are beyond this world in the spirit realm. And we have to wake up and say, whoa, we got to stop here. Something is not right. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. What is the activity and the schemes that the enemy wants to have in our family right now? What is going on in our marriage? Whoa, there's some schemes going on because I'm not agreeing with you and you're not agreeing with me. If we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, what is going on right now? Do you understand that? Okay, so I'm saying to wake up, because there's a warfare for your peace of mind. There is a warfare for your family, for your children, for the ministry that God has given you, for the property that you own, all of these things. He wants to destroy what God loves. And so what do? We stand firm and fight spiritual with spiritual. You could physically go around in your home, shut every door and window, make sure everything is safe. Like Josh says that I normally do at night. I don't know if you heard that sermon where I shut the shades. I heard that forever. He talked about how I'm going to shut this right now. He talked about how I like, right now you're going to shut. Now listen. But you can physically go around and do whatever you can in your home to try to do that. But that is the physical realm. That is not the spiritual realm. Your human strength will not and cannot work to win this battle. We have to be strengthened in the Lord and daily put on the full armor of God. And recognize evil for evil. And recognize that if I'm behind here and I hear a voice that doesn't sound like my father's, I will not open this door. And if I hear a lie or if I hear something that is not love, I will not open that door. I will not partner with that. And we have to recognize and we have to know his voice. And when we know his voice, we'll be able to stand on what God has said about us instead of leaving the door open to all of our weak spots, cracking the window to fear and past sin. I want to tell you a little story. I didn't mean to have like a theme of animals, but today is a little story about a bunny, some bunnies. One day, a snake slithered into a cozy rabbit burrow. The rabbits pressed themselves fearfully against the wall. Ooh, never before have they seen such a guest enter their home. But the snake spoke in a soft, gentle voice. "Don't be afraid." I used to be in theater. I don't know if you know that about me, but anyway. "Don't be afraid. I'm terribly lonely. I have no friends, and I long for warmth. I carry wisdom, and I wish to share this with you." The rabbits looked at each other and decided to give her a chance. They listened to her stories, enchanted by her quiet, mesmerizing whisper. She spoke like a philosopher until she bit one of them, and then she left. The next evening, she returned. "Please don't turn me away," she pleaded. "You know I'm a snake. It's hard for me not to bite, but I'm trying. We should all accept each other's flaws, shouldn't we?" The rabbits hesitated, but once again they allowed her in. And once again there was gentle conversations, soft words, and then suddenly that sharp bite. On the third day, the burrow was sealed with a stone. The snake coiled around it, hissing, begging, whispering promises to change, pleading for just one more chance, but no one came out, and she hissed bitterly and slithered away into the darkness. Whether it's a roaring lion or a slithering snake, we are called as the church of Jesus Christ to be alert, to submit to him and resist the devil. And this helps you to be able to stand and recognize what doors or burrows or whatever it is that needs to be shut so that the enemy has no entry. Staying alert means that we have to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Even now, as I've been using this as an example, I believe that the Holy Spirit has been telling you there's some doors open in your life that need to be shut so that the enemy will stop having access to your mind, to your body, to your family. Fear may be the door that's open in your life. What you thought was just maybe a little crack that was open. You didn't know that it was actually carrying torment and worry, anxiety. You see, fear is not gracious. It is sent to bring suspicion, inadequacy, dread, and insecurity. In one of my favorite books, Hinds Feet in High Places, there is a family of fearings, and it's led by the one family member that is, oh, he's mean. And his name is Craven Fear. And his other family members consist of coward, gloomy, timid, spiteful, and Mrs. Dismissal. You see, every lie always brings the family with it. It's not just, oh, I'm just gonna have this one thought. No, that thought leads to another thought, which to another thought, to another thought. And you have basically invited about six things in. When you've partnered with that one lie. Maybe the door that's open in your life is unforgiveness. Maybe it was left open and not dealt with. Maybe it started as a small wound and looked really innocent, but became a stronghold of bitterness. You see, Satan's agenda is to seek agreement with you. He is looking for you to agree with him. He is looking for you to partner with him and open the door to lies. That is his mission. And he looks for a space where he has access to open doors in your life. Maybe the door that is open into your life is rebellion, but you have coaxed it as independence. But if left open, it leads to disobedience, anger, being unteachable. Secret sin opens the door to shame. Comparison opens the door to a stronghold of striving. Jealousy leads to suspicion. But here is the beautiful thing. This is the good news. Freedom comes when you agree with God's word. And he says, you know what? I've given you authority over the enemy. And when you come into agreement with him, you will no longer agree with the accuser. This today is a call to be alert. This today is a call to authority that is yours and mine. This is a call to close the door, not only in your own strength today, not in your own strength today, but by the power of Jesus Christ. He's given you victory over the enemy. And when we submit to Jesus, when we're with him, when we come around him, we won't be able to tolerate anything open other than to him. We were not designed for counterfeit. Yesterday, as I was just spending some time, I felt this the last couple of days, and I want to be very careful, but I want to be very direct, but very loving as well. And the Lord kept reminding me of this, that there are times in people that they are on this cycle. They're continuing in the cycle. And sometimes it starts, I'll just do this. Sometimes it starts with a job and they're dissatisfied and they're hurt by their boss, and then they pick another job and then they're hurt by their boss. And I'm not talking about real trauma here. I'm talking about undealt with agreements. Undealt with, not wanting actually healing, but you've become this thing. Your identity is this wound, is what I'm trying to say. And it's hard to let go of it because you've had it so long that it is who you are. You don't know what it's like to not have it. But there's patterns in your life where you're not satisfied with anything wherever you go because it's a constant talk. You have made an agreement with the enemy, and you've stayed in this place. I will say this. I love counseling. I love therapy. I'm not talking about those traumatic things that have happened in your life. I am talking about patterns. I am talking about agreements. I am talking about where you have physically, emotionally agreed that you are this way. That is not the new creation that you are called to be. And the Lord wants to break that today. I believe that there is freedom for you today. That cycle is going to be broken. That verbiage that continues to come out of your mouth is going to be healed up. And you're going to be able to actually speak out what God has intended for you to speak, because you are no longer wrapped up in this agreement and cycle that the enemy has you on. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about with this? I believe that that is for today. And so I just want you to stand with me. Please, please hear my heart with this. Please hear my heart with this. He is here to break the bonds. He is here to break the chains. He did not die on the cross for you to live in bondage. And let me tell you this, and I'm going to say this really maybe more gently in a gentle tone, but it's going to be very direct. He's like, it's actually not them, it's you. You continue to partner with a lie. You continue to partner with pain, and you won't let pain go, and it has become your idol, and it has become your God, and I want to bring healing to you today, and I want to set you free. So today we're going to invite Holy Spirit to illuminate and shed light if there is any open door. Any open door. And in this moment, I just want you to close your eyes. If you're watching online, just close your eyes. In the family center, just close your eyes. And I want you to ask Jesus by saying this, Jesus, are there any open doors in my life? To some of you, you already knew that when this door came out on this stage, like it just popped into your mind, the door to fear is open in your life. When the men put it down, it was like the door to resentment is open in your life. The door to suicidal thoughts is open in your life. You have made an agreement. You have made a partnership with the enemy, and that is actively in your life. I've come to set you free today. Let me say this. Any agreement that you've made that is not honoring to Jesus is an open door, is an agreement with the enemy. Any mindset that isn't the mind of heaven is an agreement with the accuser. Whew. Whew. If you could look at me, the battle that we are in right now is such an urgent battle. There's an urgency to respond to Holy Spirit today. And let him reveal where the entry and the access was where you gave the enemy control. Or maybe you just had it cracked open and the enemy came in and took control. We know who wins though, right? Do you know who wins? I know who wins. But we have to partner with Jesus. We have to let go of fear and let go of resentment and let go of lying and let go of lust so that we can actually grab a hold of Jesus and submit ourselves to him and resist the devil and turn from him and give him our mind and give him our life. We can't be passive about this. There is an intruder. We have to be on guard. Because we open doors to generations. What I do opens a door to my daughters and my daughters to their daughters and their sons. What I do and what I open the door to affects whoever is coming up behind me. I am responsible for me, and I got to know that there's an enemy out here that wants me to lock eyes and lock hands and lock hearts with him as he coaxes me in his like smooth talk of fear and anxiety. But no, I've got to say no, I resist you and I won't partner with you today. We have opened doors that affected our homes, affected our jobs, affected our health. Maybe you're the one that's like, I have 80% of negative talk in my mind today and I need to be set free. And if that is you today, we want to pray. So I'm going to ask the ministry team to go ahead and come down. We have our staff coming down right now. I want you to just spread across the front. We want to pray with you. There is no reason today, absolutely no reason, that you have to walk out those doors today with doors in your life that are open to the enemy. Those can be shut today through the victory and the power of Jesus Christ. So as Tyler starts singing today and sings over us, I just want to invite you. I want to invite you down to the front so that we can agree with you. We can pray over you and seal that door. Because on the blood, on the doorframe of my life, there's a song that's out there. It says, is the blood of Jesus Christ. And I refuse to partner with anything that is not love and joy and his voice. And we are praying that you do the same. So Lord, I just pray over these people today. The ones online and the one in the family center, I pray, God, that you would reveal the access that wasn't purposefully given, maybe. And the access that was. I pray for revelation and insight into what is going on in the situation. In Jesus' name, amen.